Hello and welcome to a special edition of the Cinema Clash featuring our not-so-exclusive but still pretty cool interview with the director and two stars of the new movie Waves from indie powerhouse A24. Before we play the interview in full, recorded a few weeks back at the Middleburg Film Festival, Hannah, can you please tell our listeners about Waves?
Well, Charlie, Waves is one of those movies where I can't tell you much because really, the less you know going in, the better. What I can tell you is it's sort of this bittersweet, very intense family drama about an African-American family in suburban South Florida. They've got this picture-perfect world going on, and then things begin to unravel. Can't give too much away. Suffice it to say, the dad, who's played by Sterling K. Brown, Randall from This Is Us, He puts a ton of pressure on his high school athlete son to succeed. Life takes some wacky turns, resulting in a tragedy that impacts the entire family. So that's the first part, sort of. Mm-hmm. But this movie is structured in two very distinct parts, separated by what I would call a sort of climactic event in the middle. So the first half focuses on actor Kelvin Harrison Jr.'s character named Tyler, while in the second half, Taylor Russell, she takes center stage as Tyler's sister, Emily. So it's a very unconventional construct that will work for some people, may not work for others. Heart-wrenching movie to watch, but the cinematography, direction, sound, powerful performances, it all makes Waves a pretty compelling watch.
So we actually had a chance to sit down and spend a few minutes specifically with Kelvin Harrison Jr. and Taylor Russell, and the director, Trey Edward Schultz. We know him from It Comes at Night, and my personal favorite, Krisha. It made my top 10 the year that came out. Mm-hmm. We've raved about Krisha before.
You raved.
They shared some insights about their filmmaking process, and I spent the entire film harboring a distinct misconception about the house we were watching.
Yeah, so the interview turned out to be, it's a bit inside baseball. We had really like a 10-minute window. And when you can't really talk about the plot of a film, which was certainly the case with this one, you talk about the filmmaking. So apologies for the quality of the audio. Full disclosure, we recorded this in a conference room at a hotel at the Middleburg Film Festival on our iPhones, and so that's what you get. So without further ado, our conversation with Trey Edward Schultz, Kelvin Harrison Jr., and Taylor Russell.
All right, Cinema Clash, sitting down with director Trey Edward Schultz and actors Kelvin Harrison Jr. and Taylor Russell with the new film, Waves. First of all, Trey, I am Krisha's biggest fan.
Yeah.
He is.
That was your mom's house.
Yes, my mom's house.
I recognize that house. In the first second, leaned over, Hannah, that's Krisha's house.
Yeah, wait, in Waves? Or you mean in Krisha?
That's the same house in both
films. It's not the same house.
It looks like the exact same
I've heard that over, and people at A24 are like, wait, is that the same house from Krisha? I was like, no, one's in Texas, one's in Florida, very different places. Well, similar places in some respects. But we got really lucky and blessed because we were having trouble finding the family house, and the family house is like the central location in the film. A lot happens there, and it was not working. And then we walked in this house, and we were like, is the Krisha house in Florida right now? What's going on?
It's so similar.
It was perfect.
Was it in Miami?
It's in Broward County, which is like 30 minutes north of Miami. Pretty much, we almost didn't shoot anything in Miami. But yeah, it was down there in South Florida.
Did you always know Waves is going to be a part A, part B movie with a climax right in the middle? Did you do that intentionally, or did you realize as you were writing the script, I have to do it this way?
Definitely. It's definitely been a part of the DNA for a very long time, you know, because I think at the end of the day, I love seeing movies that I feel like I haven't seen before, or at least aspects I haven't seen before. And for this one, I got really excited at that idea. Like, can we do a diptych that's sort of climaxes midway through with the central event and then do a baton pass on top of that and still like keep an audience going with it. That was very exciting to me, you know, and I think the perspective switch between these two siblings, that was the DNA for a very long time. Yeah.
And Kelvin and Taylor, how did you guys learn to appreciate what was going on with that? Did you know going in how that was going to develop, or did you just kind of figured out as you went along? How did that work out for you guys as the actors with a film that was structured that way?
Well, we knew Calvin has been working on the script with Trey, or he's been on it with him for much longer, like 8 months before anybody else was attached to it. But we all knew going in what it was going to be. But we also shot out a sequence, so it didn't really feel like a baton passing over while we were filming. It didn't feel like it's Calvin's part and now it's mine, and now everything's switching to like just about Emily or just about Tyler. I actually shot a lot of my stuff first, and then it was Calvin, but we did have days where it was just me and then just him and then with the family. So it felt like it was kind of all over the place, which was helpful, I think, so it didn't feel so giant. When we were doing it necessarily, but the fact that it was his story and mine, I think both of us were so we wanted to be careful about like what we were conveying in each part of the story and what it was about and the language of each one, and that was already set up from what Trey had written in the script with the music in the first half of the film versus the second half. It feels different. There's a levity in the second half, whereas the first half, it's much more anxiety-inducing, and you're on the edge of your seat, and you don't know what's going to happen, and it's much more indicative of like life and how it feels when you're young and a teenager to be like, what are these new feelings that I'm feeling? Everything feels new. So that was already in the DNA of the script, and we just kind of tried to do the best that we could with what was already there.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty much it. We just knew, I think what we did was also, Taylor and I just wanted to make sure that we connected as people too beforehand and felt like, you know, we understood all the details that led up to that happened before the movie even started, to make sure we understood what that sibling bond was and that, you know, if that was strong, then that would kind of, you can feel it throughout the entire film.
Mm-hmm. And it's interesting, you mentioned the music. And so I know that I had just seen this documentary called Making Waves, just happened to have seen it like the week before.
Yeah.
And so I was like, okay, wait, that has nothing to do with this movie.
Like,
but it's a fascinating, but it's a great documentary that helps you appreciate sound design, sound production, sound editing, all these things. And so, you know, you've really learned how involved that process can be. And this is a very sensory overload, music heavy film. And so can you talk a little bit about how you were able to really translate what you were going to be going for with sound and whether that occurred in pre-production, production, post-production?
Yeah. I mean, it was sort of every step of the way, new elements and stuff would be taking shape, I guess. It did really start with the music, because that was always a part of the DNA, you know, and it's music was embedded with the script. So if you could listen to it as you were reading, because I think music really, you know, for me, it's gotten me through a lot of stuff, but it will open you up emotionally. So I wanted the script to kind of feel as hopefully visceral and emotional and subjective as it could, trying to get the spirit of the movie. So we kind of set the tone with that, but then it would keep evolving, you know, through how we shot things. I mean, we shoot everything in the same subjective spirit. The camera is always meant to bring you closer to what they're feeling, basically, whether that's spinning in a car or just locked off, not moving at all. And that continued through everything, through post. Like, sound design in the mix was so gigantic for this movie, and we had the incredible Johnny Byrne and his team. This movie is also, it's very dynamic, you know, like sometimes it can be tiny and quiet, sometimes music is crazy, sometimes it's like playing with the mix of like music and a party, using the rears and the crowd and subjective sounds for Tyler's head. And it felt like a field day because there was so much we could play with. But within that, we felt if we didn't get it right, then it just becomes like a messy, sloppy mess. So it had to feel kind of right, and that took a lot of time, but it was really, really fun to do.
You know, speaking of spinning in the car,
yes,
there's in the beginning of the film, there's Kelvin driving top of the world, spinning. There's Drew Daniels' camera here, spinning. There's Taylor and Lucas Hedges' forlorn road trip, spinning, poking. Yeah. How did you do that?
Very proud of it. Proud that Drew. Good fit. So I couldn't have done it without my DP, Drew Daniels, who's done every movie with me, and he's the man. And we had an amazing crew. Basically, we had a slider going between from the back of the truck to the front. So the camera's on a slider, and behind each seat, so behind, I think I was behind Kelvin or Alexa, I was scrunched down behind one, the dolly grip was scrunched down behind another, and I had a walkie, and I could see what we were shooting, and I could talk to the kids right there in the car, and then the dolly grip was pushing the slider, so that would get the camera movement from the back of the truck seats to the front, but then Drew, my DP, was in the car behind us, so the camera is on a remote head, so he's operating everything remotely from the car behind, and he has like a TV in his car, and he's doing all the spinning and everything. So it becomes, first it's like the crew, us, me, Drew, the grip, us working out the kind of dance of the camera, how we pull it off, you know? So it started, that was another thing, like even we broke down an Alexa Mini as small as it could go, but it could barely like fit through even then. So like, it was getting like the pushing movement from the dolly grip to where Drew would spin it around and do that spinning and then come back. And it, so we worked out all that stuff, and then we just let the kids be the kids, you know, and like let them play and riff to where we'd like get in a dance with them. And that's when the magic would kind of happen.
It's a magical movement. It really is a magical way of figuring that out.
Well, the funny thing too, actually, we shot you and Luke's first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you and Luke's.
Did we?
I believe so.
Oh, no,
yeah,
we did.
A road trip. Yeah, I always think about it the other way around, but we shot y'all's first, so that was more. I remember too that one of the takes, it was amazing. Like Tay, like did this thing with her hand, and the camera like follows up, and it was really, really special. Really fun shooting that stuff.
I totally forgot about that.
Yeah.
Well, anyway, sorry, we just watched, we waited to watch the trailer until after we saw the film.
Awesome. I love that.
Because we were like, okay. This is a really tough sell.
Yes.
Like, how do you explain to people who are used to watching a trailer to determine what movie they're going to see, especially at award season? And so having even watched it afterwards to verify that the trailer doesn't give up anything, we then went, but I don't know if I would know what I'm getting.
Yeah.
So for all of you, what do you tell people? Like, I'm in this movie, but I can't really tell you much beyond that it's a family drama and you just got to go along for the ride.
Basically, yeah. That you nailed it. That's exactly it.
Yep.
This one says he has loose lips. So,
what are you giving up?
No, I mean, I definitely start to talk a little bit more about the dynamics between family and father and son.
Yeah.
That's something to anticipate, because you can kind of feel that in the trailer, though. You know, my dad,
he doesn't really
give you the same luxuries.
That's right. You go through some rough stuff there. So no, that's definitely good to know.
You know what? It almost feels like a spoiler, Taylor, to say you carry the second half of the film.
Yeah.
I almost feel like I can't say that. And it's, you're half of the film.
Yeah.
And it's blindsiding because you're such a shadow in the first half. I didn't know you.
Yeah.
And then I got to know you very well. And just the way you pulled that off is you don't see that. It's very rude.
Thank you.
We talked about the camera spinning. Why the proximity? Every shot is a close-up.
Yeah.
I am on heels. I'm in faces. I'm right there.
Yeah.
I don't even remember a wide shot.
Yeah.
Why'd you do that?
There are wide shots, but you don't feel them as much because, we're also kind of specific with how we use them because it is such a subjective experience. So I just wanted it to feel like you're living this life with these kids. You know what I mean? So when we're with Ty, a lot's going on in his world and he's moving a lot and the camera's following suit, you know, and it's always motivated by them. And it's interesting. So, you know, sometimes though, that is like the polar opposite of it. Like when Tay, takes over the story, she's isolated from her world and there's a lot of just like 1-3-3 static locked off shots of her, just like wide shots too, of her walking through the school and everything. And then also the way we'd even use wide shots in a dialogue scene, we try to never go to the wide without having a purpose and an emphasis to it. So even like one of my favorite scenes of the movie that sort of motivates the poster over there of that hug, you never see a wide shot of that entire scene until the end, in the peak emotional moment and the connectivity between father and daughter there, to where hopefully it feels, then when we save it and then use it, it feels earned and you feel it even more. That was the intention anyway. So, yeah, a lot of that.
Great. Trey, Kelvin, Taylor, thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us today.
It was a pleasure.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And there you have it, our first foray into interviewing talent for the Cinema Clash. Thanks for listening to this very special bonus edition of the Cinema Clash podcast. I'm Hannah Buchdahl of ChickFlix.net.
And I'm Charlie Jewell of CharlieJewell.com. Till next time, take care.